You're listening to Extra Time, driven by Continental.
How are you feeling after that, Matt?
I feel a lot better than Bob.
Who asked those questions?
Extra Time is exactly how I find out what's going on in the MLS.
Get lost.
Maybe this podcast has influenced me a little bit as well.
Everybody up here, every single day, goes into the office, into the laboratory, to try to cook up some great stuff for you guys.
That's why he's here!
Oh, from New York, you are listening to Extra Time, driven by Continental from the AT&T MLS Studios in Midtown Manhattan. I'm Andrew Wiebe with my partners in soccer. He's back, Charlie Davies, Chuck D in the building, David Goss, Matt Doyle. Week one has come and gone. Soccer is here. No more preseason result that kind of mattered. They all matter now. And before we get into it, guys, I just shout out our week one MVP right now. Jason from DC, who sent us a 24-pack of beer that we have not yet cracked into, but should have cracked into.
And as a thank you, we won't talk about DC United.
Ah,
you're welcome, Jason.
Didn't see that one coming. You don't drink beer now, Doyle. That's what Dave just told me. Is that true?
Your water, clean living.
Just nothing.
No, it's a 2020 resolution.
H2O?
Yeah.
Just like straight out, no alcohol?
No. Beer. He didn't say that.
No beer.
Yeah.
Beer.
No beer.
Okay.
Doyle said, why waste time with extra liquid when I can get to the point as quick as possible?
Awesome. Okay. This segment brought to you by Captain Morgan.
I set my fantasy team. That was good. The fantasy winner in our league was Kitchener, Alabama FC, 105 points. They captained Christian Pavone. That was smart.
I had
Jordan Morris and Kyle Duncan.
Rad.
How did you do? 72 points right here, and in fitting fashion in the Experts League, I tied somebody, which is a true punishment for that other person that
and
considers
now,
themselves an expert.
As you forget to reset your lineup for this coming week.
That person stuck with a tie all year long. That's all that matters. I am going to remember 35 goals in 13 games. It was a lot of soccer. It was a lot to keep up with. There were times.
There's a lot of teams in MLS
reboxing.
Now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's a lot of games.
You upped it another 90 minutes that you had to commit. So all you that stayed strong and watched every game, we all did that, I think. I was excited to. Before we get to the big news, which is Joseph Martinez, and it's the sad news as well. He has a torn right ACL. What was your moment from the weekend? What was the time where you kind of stood up and you said, oh, God, it's back. Thank you. Charlie, bring some enthusiasm, man.
I loved everything I saw.
Oh, that's
wow.
The kill time answer right there. Yeah. That's the, oh, boy, what am I going to say?
I could go off the rip because the first – the first moment I think I jumped out off the couch was Christian Pavone.
Yep.
Just direct from the goal kick, because obviously David Bingham spraying dimes in 2020.
Yeah.
Hindsight 2020 in 2020. And Pavone just hit I don't think it dipped. I don't think it moved. It came off his foot in a straight line into the top corner. And I was like, I wish I'd picked that guy for MLS MVP preseason.
Yeah, a lot of bangers there. Yeah. You could have done it.
Let's
had your opportunity. Could have done it. David Bingham out here, Nick Ramondoing. It was very, very nice. Can I throw up Maxi Arruti?
Mm-hmm.
Because that was your Rosé moment, Maxi. That was the time you're like, he's got a chance. And then you're like, that's Maxi. But then he just chips Matt Turner, who you were watching he was out to pasture a little bit there. I don't know what he was doing, where he was going, but do not take anything away from Maxi Arruti. And Thierry Henry, by the way, we'll talk about him later as well. You figured it out? You scrolled around? You did some
I did everything. I guess what really excited me was the fact that there were so many games where you saw quality. It was possession. I think coaches changing tactics and man managing the game. So speaking to Thierry Henry for 20 minutes after the game, he was telling me,
Humble brag.
You see me in the formation, you think, oh, back five, we're just going to defend. But it's all about tactics when you have the ball versus when you don't. When we have the ball, if you watch the field, I had five guys lined up with my striker. I had five guys pushing the lines high. Five.
Playing the run and shoot, man.
We were attacking. And then hearing Rafa Vicky say as well, we're all about trying to understand in the game that tactics change. Sometimes we're going to press. Sometimes we're going to sit back. We're going to adjust how we play. It's not we're going to stick the low block every single game or we're going to press every single game. It's during the game, the ebbs and flows, we're going to alter what we do. And I love that.
I'd like to see it in week one. I've learned a lesson here. When I asked Charlie for a single moment, and he goes in with like a treatise on like managerial flexibility.
I'm just telling you, I've seen how the growth in managers throughout MLS.
It's beautiful to see.
That inspires me because you told me what pumps me up. because kids are now learning that, and coaches as well, that it's not just so easy. It's okay.
It's not we play this one way, right. It'll be 90 minutes.
You got to taste it throughout the game. Flexible. It's the man management during the game.
Be flexible. What's your moment? Then we'll get to Joseph Martinez, unfortunately.
It's not my moment. It's Matt from Hoboken's moment dropping into the group chat that Oswaldo Alanis goal.
Oh, yes.
Blowing everybody up.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that.
Yeah, that was beautiful.
I like when people get hyped for you know, maybe not as many eyes on the Quakes as some of the other teams, but they gave you a reason.
Disappointing result for Toronto FC, but that comeback, that's what they're building around. It's the spirit from San Jose, but they wanted to get the win. Okay, let's get to the thing that nobody wants to talk about, nobody wants to think about, nobody wants to swallow or deal with or accept. Joseph Martinez is out long-term. We do not yet know how many weeks, months, maybe a year, he will be out for Atlanta United, but he tore his right ACL in Nashville. Before we jump into what now for Atlanta, their sort of contender status, which is very much in flux based on this injury.
Not in flux, it's gone.
It's gone. Okay, well, that'll be a conversation. Just gut reaction, Dave. You see this come over, and you saw the injury, and you're hoping, you're praying that it's not this.
Yeah, it sucks. That's kind of all it is. It's first game of the season. It's the entire year wiped out. It's going to be hard for him, first of all. It's going to be hard for the club to overcome not just what they lose on the field, but he's the leader of that team. Almiron left, and Barco's a young player, and you could see the reaction to Barco's goal. Like, it was Joseph's emotion, and he's carried that team on and off the field, so it's going to be tough. And it's just going to be tough because you know, to wipe out that amount of time of a player's career and what they can do, and then he's got to work his way back. Like, Charlie can speak to this way better than me because he's been in this situation of just a moment in time, and then all of a sudden you can't start again for 11 months or whatever it is. So it sucks.
You've lost something personally, but we've all lost something collectively. Can I throw this out there? He's the face of the league right now. Mm-hmm. Am I wrong about that?
No.
Carlos Vela would be right there, but I think in so many ways Joseph Martinez is that, and that's why it hurts so much. Doesn't matter. None of us are ATL fans, but the moment you saw that, your heart just sort of dropped because we're all going to miss something. He made this league way more interesting and fun at all times because it's obviously the goals. I mean, it's crazy the way he scores, the way he goes about
off
it.
Off the field, eccentric style.
Well, it's not even off the field. It's the goal celebrations. It's the anger with which he scores the goals. It's
the
edge.
Style.
Yeah, it's the cars, I mean, the clothes, it's the hair, and it's the quotes, it's the Orlando.
How many players could come out into the start of the season with like Andy Warhol hair and make it work? Like Joseph,
while driving a Ferrari.
Yeah, it's like he's everything. Like, he's a star. He's a star, and it makes the league less fun to follow if he's not out there. Just get better, Joseph. Hopefully, hopefully it'll be a quick recovery. I remember when Baggio did his, it took like 3 months to get back. When Jordan Morris did his, it took him almost 12 months, and then he wasn't really the same until almost 18 months. So these things vary.
Everyone's different.
Everyone's different.
Just get better, man. Just get
better. I can't remember off the top of my head. Like, when was the last time arguably the best player in the league was lost for a year? I think maybe Preki did his knee 20 years ago, but like, it's been a while.
There were no names that jumped out to me off the top. I mean, Jordan Morris getting injured was one of the most recent where you're like, oh god.
Jordan Morris
season.
Is awesome, but he's not like like a top five player.
You go back to Beckham, maybe? Beckham lost a couple years. It wasn't the same profile of on-field player, but certainly it was off the field. I mean, anyway, this is a big deal. Here's the question, though. Are Atlanta United still an MLS Cup contender? No. One-word answer?
No.
Is everybody going to say no on that one?
Nope.
Straight off no?
I
think there's still a
contender. Yeah, I don't know that you can say straight off no.
But I think you got to be hesitant.
Right now. I'm not talking about in the summer. You have a transfer window and you bring in somebody. Right now, they are not a contender for MLS Cup.
All right, well, let me just hit you with the numbers then. Joseph Martinez, 77 goals in 84 MLS games. He has 90 and 103 overall matches for Atlanta. He scored 38.9% of their goals in their entire history. In their entire history. Almost 4 out of 10. 174 of their historical 198 goals are not available. That's Joseph, Almiron, Villalba, and Gressel. Those are gone. No longer on this roster. And without him in MLS play, Atlanta United, 5 wins, 8 losses,
do you still,
6 ties.
Still think they're a contender? Are you still hesitant?
Does that change your mind at all?
I'm not saying that they're favorites. What I'm saying is,
no.
I had them preseason pick fifth in the East anyway.
Correct.
But what I'm saying is, I still don't know anything about the East. I'm still not locked in on anyone in the Eastern Conference. It's one game knockout playoffs. And yeah, if you put yourself in a situation where you have a cohesive system going into the playoffs and PT and Barco are playing well, there's no reason they can't beat anyone on any day. Will they do it four times and win MLS Cup? Maybe not, but I don't think you can completely write off the season for them yet. You probably could write off CCL because they're not going to recover quick enough to beat Club America or two Mexican teams or three Mexican teams. But I think to say the next 34 weeks are done.
Gosh.
What?
No one's saying that the season's over. What we are saying is they're not an MLS Cup contender. There's a big difference.
Okay.
They can still get in the playoffs, which would be, I think, an achievement considering what Joseph Martinez means to this team. But you're talking about an MLS Cup contender right now without Joseph Martinez? No way.
But look at TFC last year and where they were and not having Josie the entire run. And they were still able to get over that line starting Tsubasa Endo in every single big game.
Josie's
and
awesome.
Loaning Benaze into the league in the summer.
Josie's awesome. Last year, when Atlanta's season started to go into a little bit of a nosedive, Joseph Martinez scored in 15 straight games. 15 straight games. He picked that team up, and he put them on his back. Yeah. And, like, Josie's amazing. And if he stays healthy, then I think Toronto's the best. But, like, it's a different level in terms of what they have done for their teams.
A different level of production.
Okay, so how do you replace the production? Well, you don't. That's the starting point.
No.
How do you approximate the production? How do you just get results? What does Frank DeBoer do? He has Adam John.
This is where...
And that's basically it as far as forward depth at this point.
This is where a coach manager is tested because it comes down to tactics and philosophy. Right now, with the current squad that they have, PT Martinez has to be the false nine. You have to. You load the midfield, and you try and use Barco and PT as the two guys who are going to be responsible for scoring goals, whether it's on set pieces, whether it's off the dribble. You try and get them isolated here and there, but it's really you load the midfield, you slow down the game, you try and dictate the tempo when you become a possession-based team, but that's really all you can do right now.
That's a troublesome sort of scenario to me.
I just want to say, I disagree with that. I think you got Adam John in there for a reason. You have to give it a chance. You have to see what it looks like with him. And there's a lot of skepticism at this table, and I understand because Adam John
has not traditionally
been able to do it in MLS.
I'm going to take the high road. I'm going to be.
Why even bring him into the team if not for this exact situation? And it was Adam John who came in after Joseph got hurt. So it looks like Frank DeBoer is thinking the same thing. Playing PT Martinez as a false nine, he'll last 14 minutes. There's no way he's going to do any of the physical work.
If I had to make that choice 1,000 times
to play that position,
I'll put it in perspective. If I had to make this choice 1,000 times, Adam John as my nine or PT Martinez as my false nine, I am going to choose PT Martinez a million times.
Now on the Adam John coming into this game, Castro and Rosetto still haven't gotten their visas.
Right.
So that'll change the formula because you push Castro into PD's spot. You can push him higher. You also have a ton of injuries right now in this group. So I think Mulroney's supposed to be a midfielder. He started a left wing back. So
when you get Miles Robinson back, that's going to be a big help.
You can push Escobar out to a wing back spot if you have to and push someone else higher up the field. So you'd assume if they have all their pieces, there's more flexibility to play PT in that spot. And I agree with Charlie in that you can't go like for like because Adam John is so much worse than Joseph Martinez at soccer.
It's not even worse. They're different players. You're not going to get the same.
Right.
And I think
Adam John came into this team.
I don't want to slander Adam John.
No, go for it. It's fine.
That is a fact.
Saying you're not as good as the greatest center forward in MLS history is not.
I don't think that's.
And I would argue he came into this team to have another option late in games to go big little, to play off his head, to knock down for Joseph. He wasn't brought in to replace him if necessary, which is probably also a problem with their roster building, with the way they've handled the center forward position behind Joseph over the last 3 years. But I would agree that you got to do something different. and PT playing up and falling off that line and allowing other guys to run through and come in behind them and lay off could give you some looks that are different that make you hard to play
against. Out of your mind.
Here's what happened, PT.
PT gets kicked by the center backs and gets kicked by the demons.
You're a false nine. You're not expecting him to be up there.
He's just going to hold the ball up to the wing and get out of the mix the entire
drag
game.
A center back with him. You overload.
We're not going to go with him, Charlie.
Then you, guess what?
He's never a threat between the lines.
You overload the wide areas. Okay? So if a center back's not going to come out, guess what? You have an advantage.
You overload the wide areas for what reason if you have no actual forward in the box dangerous?
You think what players aren't going to move into the box?
Yeah. Have you watched that team play? They're two deep lying D mids do not move into the box. Well, and the two more attacking mids,
they're going to have to typically adjust to getting it, making late runs in the box. Emerson Hyndman is going to have to be more attack minded. But this, you cannot go forward and expect to have results with Adam John up top with the way this team plays. No chance. You think he's going to run in? You're going to run in behind? You're going to expose back lines with Adam John?
So my argument would be at least he could hold the ball up and combine a little bit.
Can he, though?
I mean, he has in the past. His big issue has been actually finishing off plays in the box. Like, his combination play is decent. So then at this point, and I think this is one where we can all agree, Barco and PT have to start playing like $15 million.
Oh, I was about
players.
To say this. This is the test.
What's going to happen. You need them to come alive.
There's no other scenario. We brought you in for a reason. We've waited. We've been patient. You've had the Band-Aid, which is Joseph Martinez. The Band-Aid has been summarily ripped off. Pity Martinez, you got to be that guy. You have to be the one we saw against Motagua.
Yeah.
Who's driving the game. Who's pushing past players. Ezekiel Barco against, now look, Nashville basically like, you know, they ushered him into the 18-yard box,
gave him the shooting angle. But Barco's got the ability to do that.
He has the ability, yeah. We've always said he has the ability. I was out here guaranteeing him 20 goals and assists combined last year, and he got like 7. That's where it has to change.
He missed a good chunk of time.
Okay, fine. Rossetto, he's got to be a difference maker now. Mm-hmm. Guys, Hyndman, he's got to be that. Now you have what?
Let's stop beating around the bush, Charlie. You gonna go play for Atlanta United? How many minutes you got in center forward?
You and Carlos still talk, right?
If we had to make a decision between you and Adam John up top 1,000 times,
you know,
every time
you choose yourself, I'm gonna get you something. I'm going to give you something.
Okay. So
guaranteed.
We're operating under the assumption that they're not going to go get somebody else, and that's probably the wrong assumption. Frank DeBoer, after this game, before we understood the severity of the injury, had this quote, quote, "We have to search and not make a hasty decision. If he's ruled out, we now know that he is."
Now I'm going to go through with this. Does Mason Toy make sense?
Hold on. You didn't even let me finish the quote.
Adrian Heath is not playing him, right? Does he make sense? Because the value's not going to be that high right now.
You can get him on loan.
That was a David Goss-esque.
Why not go for a player like that on loan? The other thing is like, look.
Wait, what? You think they're going to loan Mason Toy to Atlanta?
That'd be crazy.
There's no way Minnesota does that.
When was the last time a team loaned a guy in the league
that they actually value?
Abubakar?
Do they really value him?
Okay, but what's the connection between Columbus and Colorado versus Minnesota lost Open Cup final to them last year and have like always been connected?
Goss, they're playing Schoenfeld. Schoenfeld.
Well, late in the game.
Don't talk about my people.
Can I just make the point that the Galaxy lost a DP to injury all of last year, and they were able to add Christian Pavone?
Yeah, there's some flexibility.
That's interesting.
On loan.
The transfer window for MLS is still open into May. Here's the rest of that Frank DeBoer quote, if I just can get it in here. There's a good possibility.
Right, so here's my thing.
We'll be looking at the market for a replacement. That's what Frank DeBoer said. So it also was interesting that they traded Romario Williams last year. They traded Brandon Vasquez in the offseason.
I liked him.
And they sold Tito Vialba. All three of those guys could have been
very much so
the guy that they were just Brandon like, okay,
Vasquez
well, here's
an assist.
Yeah, he did. So do you sign a free agent? The only one out there is Quincy Ameriquois. Probably not.
He's the only one?
Let me think about that for a second.
The only free agent forward, center forward, I believe, that's still available. Charlie has something to say.
I'll stick with Adam John.
Can we actually have an extra time skills competition where it's Charlie and Kalen head-to-head for a roster spot with Atlanta for the rest of the year?
Actually, I think we should introduce Adam John and Quincy into this. CJ Sapong, he didn't make the 18 for the Chicago Fire. He's a little bit of a different player, but double-digit goal scorer last year.
How much do you think they'd have to give up to get Wando?
That's awesome.
I don't know.
Apparently, I'm the troll at this table.
I'm just looking at depth charts.
You're doing him a favor. You're doing him a favor. You're San Jose. You're like, you've been the good soldier, man. Go to Atlanta. Go chase that ring, Wando. Go get it.
Everyone has to remember you're just getting a 1 year rental. That's it. You're not looking to go out into the market and get this big time South American player on loan like a Christian Pavone, knowing that Joseph Martinez is coming back next season.
Why not? If you could just get it for the 1 year, you're just saying to a guy who's in a bad situation, hey, come in.
Because the problem is, then you get, what if he comes in and he scores 20, 25 goals?
Then you figure
then
it out later.
Then you sell Barco in January, which is the plan anyway, and you use the open DP slot on this new guy.
Let me ask you, though, knowing more about this situation than we do physically, would you expect Joseph Martinez to be your Joseph Martinez at the start of 2021?
Yes.
You feel confident based on recovery times?
If I'm the GM, I would say Joseph Martinez. Maybe I'm not even telling him, but to Frank DeBoer, to the coaching staff, he's not playing this year. He is out. I don't care if he's back training in September, October. I don't care. He's out. We're going to rest him, and that'll give him the time to get fitness up. So come preseason the following year, he's ready to hit the ground running. That would be my expectation.
Okay, but let me rewind that back and present you a scenario, which is it is September. Joseph Martinez has been training for 3 or 4 weeks.
And Josh Sargent, who they have on loan, isn't really producing.
Okay. Right. Sebastian Soto comes in. No, I'm just kidding. That's a little too deep cut probably in this situation. But they're like in a position to maybe make a run.
No.
And they still have Pity and Barco's there, and this might be the last run for that group. Maybe they got a person on loan.
I'm not risking anything.
Joseph Martinez is literally beating down your door, and he's like, I don't care.
Well, that's where you come in as if you think you – if you have a plan, you need to be strong enough to tell Joseph.
Yes.
No. You are the long-term future of this club. We signed you to a 5-year extension when Almirón Roan left to be the face of this club. That's where, if that's the plan, as a club, you have to be strong enough to say no.
Yeah. Whether you tell him or from the jump.
Or you let him work hard to it so he feels like it's there.
Which I've always said, you got to give him goals. And that would probably be, we want you to be the golden boot next year. That's your motivation.
Oh, by the way, Atlanta United beat Nashville SC.
I was going to say, are there other teams in this league?
Yeah, we'll get to those. Any just quick thoughts on the game itself for Atlanta? We'll get to Nashville. They're one of our winners.
Atlanta looked like they had played an intense continental game earlier in the week. They looked leggy, kind of out of ideas, and then when Joseph got hurt, they were just kind of holding on for dear life. But they got the win, which is what you expect out of good teams.
Okay. That's all we need to say there, I think.
Drop a bag on Colorado for Diego Rubio. I'm going to throw that out there, too.
That's not a terrible shout, actually.
And he's a guy that you can push wide when Joseph comes back.
Yeah. Okay. Any
or
suggestions
underneath,
out there?
Actually, he might actually be better in that two line in the 3-4-2-1.
But if I'm Frazier, I'm not letting him leave Colorado. He's good coming off the bench for Colorado.
Yeah, but how much money is worth a bench player, right?
Like hold on. Yeah, how much money does Atlanta have? Because unless they put him on season ending, they do not get roster relief, which is just the roster spot for Atlanta. They would have to put him on season ending. But they don't really get cap relief at all. So then it's a question of how much cap space do they have? And then it's not even cap space. It's how much allocation money do they have? How much of their discretionary TAM have they already spent? Are they in a situation where it's just like, we had $500K extra allocation money to push us down into the cap because we spend a ton of money both on DPs and on TAM players? Like, they might not have enough flexibility to go out and make a big signing. It might have to be a short-term, low money, just get by signing. We don't know their cap situation. We don't know their allocation situation. We don't know if that money for Darlington Nagbe from the Crew was already earmarked. They're like, we went and got Rossetto and Meza and all. Okay, it's already gone.
They sold LGP and Tito as well. I'm just saying it doesn't seem like they've overspent what they've gotten in this year. And the three DPs are max budget charge, 3 designated players. You're not buying them down. Like, that sits in its own space. They can't use a DP to replace Joseph. They should have some allocation money to play with in league, which is why it would seem you have the possibility to move some things around together.
I don't know. I think they have a senior roster spot, and I think they have an international spot open. So those could be very valuable.
If they put Joseph on the injured reserve list for the year, which means he's 100% out, they get his roster spot back and his international spot.
Okay, let's end this conversation, and of course we'll be having it probably all year long when it comes to Atlanta and his recovery. 401-206-0MLS, that's the Hot Take Hotline. Extra time at MLSsoccer.com. Atlanta fans, anybody out there, any thoughts, anything on Joseph Martinez and Atlanta United, let us know. Let's get to our winners of week one. Doyle, get us started. Who's your big winner in MLS from week one?
Colorado Rapids, in large part because they dunked on my head in week one and getting a really good road win in D.C. I had said all offseason, well, first of all, I enjoyed the way they played the final two-thirds of last season, especially once Robin Fraser came on, but they were so good on set pieces And then in attack, like from open play, they really could only beat you with the counterattack. And I was like, I don't think this is going to be sustainable. I looked at some of the, like, rewatched a lot of film, looked at some underlying numbers, and I said, yeah, this is not going to be sustainable. Go on the road against DC, second best defense in the league last year. They got the first goal off a set piece, a recycled set piece, but it's still a set piece goal. And the second goal was more impressive to me because, like, it looked like a scrum in the box, but that scrum happened after like 10 or 12 straight minutes of just pressing the hell out of DC. They basically did not allow DC to cross the midfield stripe with the ball. Press, press, press. Won the ball back like 5 times in 4 minutes. And then in those situations for most teams, it's so tempting to just go long, especially when you have a target like Kai. But they didn't do that. Every time they won the ball, they said, we're going to try to build with it. We're going to, you know, play between the lines. We're going to try to break lines with our passing. And they did it. And that's how they created that game-winning goal. So I said, they're not going to be able to sustain their production on set pieces after week one. Wrong. And they don't have an open play plan B after week one. Wrong.
Do you think Big Keller W. Costa has a bounce-back year this year?
I mean,
With alongside Nomly, you know,
I don't know. I still have real questions about Acosta's ability to find the game as a number eight. You think about guys who play that position in this league, they're all over the ball on both sides of the ball. And Kellen, when he gets on the ball, you saw what he did in the final 10 minutes. He's amazing. He's like national team caliber player. But so often the game just happens around him. And until I see that start to change on a week-to-week basis and he goes out there and he'll control the game for not just like 10 minutes, but for like 30, 40, and finally 90 minutes, I don't think he's ever going to control
the game. But
how about affect it?
Affect it. Cover ground.
Yep.
Which he should be able to do with the best in MLS, should be able to do. Be able to lead the press, mm-hmm. Knowing when to press, when to sit back, organizing the team, setting the tempo at times. But Nomly's going to be the guy who's always on the ball.
What'd
he's going to be making the game.
What do you think of Nomly?
I like him a lot.
Yeah,
I think he's good on breaking pressure. He can do it himself individually, dribbling out of pressure. But he's also good at finding the outlet. He's aware. And his close ball control, great first touch.
He seems to want it with guys around him.
Yes.
Because he knows he can beat someone tight with his first touch,
yeah.
Which is rare. Colorado didn't have last year.
Nope.
And is rare in this league.
I think he's going to be a big surprise to everyone outside of Colorado because they get to see him on a daily basis. But, you know, talking to Keegan Rosenberry yesterday, he said, this guy impresses us every day in training. Like, he's always doing something that everyone's like, whoa, this guy's legit.
I mean, that's what they needed because they went and got 1DP in the window. This was their big transitionary moment. It was like, oh, well, now Gashi and Howard, and we have cap space. We have the roster spots. Let's go get these game changers. Well, he kind of needs to be that to elevate them, to keep them on the same pace. This is a big road win for them. DC have to be disappointed about it. Gressel playing the 10.
Yes.
That didn't seem to work.
It didn't seem to work. It also was a little frustrating because I thought most of Colorado's best moments in the attack up until the 80th minute were when Vines got forward and came infield and overloaded. Mm-hmm. And then you had, for DC, Canales, who doesn't get wide, and Flores, who floats infield. So they never took advantage of that space, which is what Gressel would do.
That match, it would be especially because it's Ola Kamara against, look, I like Lalas Abubakar a lot, but he could get lost sort of chasing the game sometimes.
Yes, he's too aggressive at
times. Too aggressive.
At times.
And then Drew Moore, who's been one of the great defenders in this league's history.
He's more passive,
but he's also 36 years old, and he's not going to keep up with Ola Kamara. So you would have thought, like, okay, win the ball, hit that long diagonal to Gressel. He's the best crosser in the league, and you have Ola in the box.
But this is the thing that I don't think a lot of people are taking into consideration. When Gressel came to DC United, he was telling them, I want to be central. I want to be in the middle. I want to be on the ball more. I wasn't brought in to be a wide player. They're going to pay me all this money to be in the middle, to influence the game more.
But they're paying Flores more.
I'm with all of you. He needs to be,
he needs to be out wide.
The wing. He needs to be out
and
wide.
Come in at times. But in those moments when the space is there, just camp out, be an available outlet, and then Ola Kamara is going
to
make the right run.
There's a lot of players that pride themselves on being able to be, you know, on the ball, good dribblers, can finish. But when you come into the middle, what a lot of people don't understand is you're not dealing with just one or two. You're dealing with four or five guys and having to see the game. The game's a lot quicker being central as a playmaker. I just don't think that's a position for him.
That's why we have Wiebe and Gass in the middle, because like they're just quicker.
We can handle players.
Boom. All this traffic, it doesn't affect me, man.
I'm
two
choppy.
Steps ahead of both of you guys. We let you start with the minutia, let's call it. Colorado. Big Rapids guy. Let's go big picture right now. Nashville, their first ever game in Major League Soccer. They are my winner from week one. They did not win in week one. They lost. Walker Zimmerman doing what you would expect him to do, getting a goal on a set piece.
Why? Give me the
why they're
real
winner?
Reason why.
Because they're a winner, because they got almost 60,000 people into Nissan Stadium.
And their center backs looked good. Their central midfield.
They played soccer.
Good. Yeah. They played real.
It took them 25 minutes.
Better. It took two Galazos. Well, I don't want to say Galazos. Two very good goals to beat them.
It also took this first goal that they scored for them to, I think, get their feet and feel confident. Then they pushed higher up the field. They started to play a little bit more. I think they tried to keep Leal wide, which is wrong. And he maybe should start at 10 and have Mukhtar start wide. But once they started to find his feet, and then Godoy got a little higher and Dax got a little higher, there was soccer played, and they were the better team. They should have probably tied it.
Dax was awesome.
Yeah, look, I like the on-the-field stuff. That's all to be built on. And Mike Jacobs has basically said, year one is respectability. Like, we want to fit in. We don't want to be the team that you look at and go, ha-ha, like, you set a goal record.
Well, that's why they got Walker Zimmerman.
I know. And here's, you know what? Some of the best parts about this game, from an outside perspective, Lizzie Hale on the guitar could have been lame. Yeah, a lot of that from Charlie on Fastest 3 Minutes was interesting. We have a number of guitar solos from you. It's the Johnny Cash TIFO, kind of like sticking true to who they want to be and who they are. And then I personally love, and it's kind of corny and weird, anywhere else it would be at least, the record, the custom record, the goal call going on wax. Producent Anders. Can I get you to roll that in real quick?
40 yards away from the goal that Guzan is protecting. Cross comes in from Mukhtar. It's loose right on top, and there it is! It's Walker Zimmerman! The maiden goal! Made in gold! Zimmerman! Instant club immortality! And it is Bedlam on the banks of the Cumberland!
His goal call. Just blasted it into his ears.
I'm going to say this. There's like an 85% chance that Walker Zimmerman's the best center forward on this team.
That's a take.
Everybody looked at this roster and said, there are three iffy spots. Center forward, right wing, right back.
After game one, who would you bet on at center forward? They want to get a DP9.
Not Dombaji.
Part of me wants to go Abu Dunlady here.
Yeah, I'm fine with giving him or Rios a chance. I already know what Dombaji's going to do in an MLS game at center forward.
Yeah,
I don't know what Daniel Rios is going to do, and I've seen him play in USL, and he's impressive. He moves well for a guy his size. He has a natural instinct to finish. And I still have a little Abu Dunlady stock, but at least like he can stretch the field and do things. Whatever it is, I know it's not Dombaji.
They're going to try and figure this out, but the foundation.
Are we
going
to get Charlie's film to Nashville as well? Like any team in the South, we can send it to Charlotte.
Charlie doesn't do country.
It was a good day in Nashville. Congratulations on your first game. A lot more to come. Charlie, give me your winner from week one.
Kevin Molino.
Hot boy.
Hot boy.
Trinidad Soca Warrior.
Just battling injury, you know, trying to get in back into form last season, the ups and downs. But to start off this year with two goals, a brace on the road in Portland, which Portland should be concerned with their current roster and the way they're playing. But for him to start this year so well, to be that guy who's going to push, pick up loose balls, get in the box, be influential in the final third, I think for me, he's a winner, because I did not expect him to really make a jump this year with Minnesota.
Abelo Reynoso, same. Who?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, not really. Actually, they still would like to have him. But this is what
Portland
they had
definitely asked for. Yeah. I think you need.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. They ushered that on.
Yeah.
But look, it's great for Kevin Molino and Minnesota United. Loons flags, full mast, fly them high, baby.
Everybody body like it's carnival.
Oh, yeah. Big
you don't know.
Luis Amaria, by the
big
way.
Big up over here.
Yeah, you don't know.
Luis Amaria. One down, 24 to go.
Woo!
Well done.
Steph Curry.
Who thinks
from
he's
going to
hit
logo.
24 more.
I mean, nobody thinks he's going to hit 24
you do.
More.
Yeah. Honestly.
No.
No. No.
Wait. 13 and a half.
I say over.
Oh. I'd say over on 13 and a half.
That's
Bro,
a great
if
number.
Ethan Finley's dropping Thunderbolts in like that, I could score 10.
How many teams are going to let Minnesota counterattack like that?
I don't know. You guys all have Portland as West champions. So
I'll take the under 13 and a half.
Okay. All right. Big week for
Minnesota. I'll say 12.
How about Dave, finish us off on the winners. Who's your winner?
The Columbus Crew, SC, and Lucas Zelarayan scoring the winner.
Do we have to do the SC?
No, but I chose to do whatever I want to do. You're interrupting me. Sorry, like guys.
Mm-hmm.
God, Andrew.
Hey, my bad.
Came down in a bubble.
Trained by the best.
Grow up, bro. Zelarayan working Alex Ring and then scoring the lone goal to win it. They were up a man for 86 minutes?
No, more than that. Scored one 87 goal. Minutes. It was like 2 minutes, 10 seconds that Maxime Cheneau clipped.
Do you think
good game, Cheneau.
Do you think he made enough of an impact in that first game?
So I think
knowing
they'll get,
that New York's down a man.
Yeah, I think they'll get better.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that the connection was there with basically everyone to play off him best because he's a guy who wants to move the ball a lot quickly. I thought Nagby and Arthur were a little bit too far away from him for large stretches. And it was better when Diaz was in because he's more of a threat, although he can't get his foot around a soccer ball for the life of him. Some of the shots and crosses Diaz hit were scary bad, but it still pulls the field a little bit wider and made life a little bit easier for Zelarayan. That's the space he got into to score the goal, was Diaz on the side of the box, pulling the NYCFC defense a little bit and Ring following him in. So if you were to say, hey, we spent this much on him, he got you 3 points already, like that's a pretty good first day.
And I'll also make the point that they were playing against a team that already had 180 minutes under their belt. And I know they were playing 10-11, but New York, except for that little moment where they went to five at the back and they got out of that real quick, they were really organized. Even playing a man down, they were, I thought, pretty hard to break down. And that's why you go out and you get a number 10 to win you games like that.
Big Milton
shout
Valenzuela
out to Mahfrey Stadium.
That was a good start for him, too.
Yeah, and it was also a good vibe.
Mm-hmm.
Like, last year, it all happened so fast before the season. We thought the first game, I think they played Red Bulls first game, was going to be like this relief of emotion. It didn't happen, and then they weren't very good, and I think a lot of it just never really got into gear.
Didn't crescendo.
And then you felt like it was a full stadium, a good atmosphere. The fans were connected. They got the win late. It seemed like a party. Caleb Porter had his comments where he thanked the fans, and I saw all of them on Twitter, like, tweeting back at them. Yep. Like, we got you.
You saw the postgame, right? The whole team goes to celebrate with Nadeka, and it's like this, it's, you know, it's this great moment of sort of like hope and aspirational.
Yeah, the new crew.
Yeah. And they should be aspirational. Like, and I don't want to put it in these terms because the Josef Martínez injury, I don't want to talk about it flippantly, but this opens up a door for a team like the Columbus Crew.
I just can't believe that we went through that whole thing with Joseph's injury and how to replace him. And we let Charlie say, I like Romario Williams. And nobody called him out on that.
I wish you did.
Oh, boy.
I mean, they would be liking him.
Charlie's
right now
a huge fan of Miami FC. Everyone knows that he's a supporter. Lloyd Sam and Romario Williams tearing it up.
I am actually a big Lloyd Sam fan.
All right. Let's get to somehow the biggest story that got relegated to what, like the 35th, 40th minute of this week one recap? That is Javier Hernandez, Chicharito, little P, his debut in Houston. Sellout crowd. We did the Chicharito cam before. Everybody was there to see him. Didn't really work out as maybe planned.
Who expected it to work out off the bat? It's a completely.
Did you?
How much time did he have with this LA Galaxy team in preseason?
3 weeks.
Not even close.
2 weeks.
Okay. 2 weeks. How much? That's not that long.
How much time do you need if you have that much talent out there?
How much time do you need? A lot of time because he's so different than all the strikers that they've had with LA Galaxy. This is a player who thrives on movement, on timing. It's all about timing when you're talking about Chicharito. To develop that chemistry with with the other players and learning their tendencies as well as them, everyone else learning his tendencies, that's going to take time. This was never going to be a quick fix. This is going to be Zlatan Ibrahimovic who can bang one from 40 yards out and do everything on his own, where the game plan is just lump it to him. He's gonna score on his own. Just lump it to him.
So how much time? How long do we have to wait?
I would think
because they crossed the ball 27 freaking times yesterday.
I think we're not going to see Chicharito in form, like scoring goals, for another month.
Wow. Okay. Look, there's a reason why I said April. I didn't think he was dominant, and it goes to exactly what Charlie says, which is it's not a matter of just letting him do it on his own. It has to be
maybe
sort of...
You could admit that when you said that, you had actually forgotten that the Galaxy signed Chicharito.
That's not true. What are you talking about? That they signed Chicharito? I was talking about Chicharito. How could I be talking about anybody else?
It's a big difference from what they were used to.
Here's Guillermo Barrichello. I think we need to find him more. We gave like 6 or 7 really good crosses, but none of them found Chicharito. I'm happy with how we tried to reach him and how he moved in the front. I mean, that's your kind of boilerplate. Didn't get a goal. Didn't get a clear-cut chance.
But see, when he says find him more, though, people have to understand it's not just lumping it up like Zlatan. You could play it high. You could play low. You could play left. With Chicharito, it's exact precision on the foot or in an area where he can get his head to it.
Isn't that the biggest challenge for the Galaxy? Yes. Because they did not show, despite, you know, Zlatan obviously is the, he's kind of covering up any sort of deficiencies, but they didn't show that precision last year. And there might be some doubts that they can show that precision.
They crossed the ball from open play 568 times last year. Most in the league. Most in our database.
By far?
No, because the Timbers did 557. Nobody else was over 500.
Yeah, but how many of those crosses were from Jorgen Skelvik? Then he got yelled at after.
I mean, they were all to the back post. They crossed the ball 27 times yesterday. Or Saturday, whenever the game was.
The another thing is, though,
at some point,
Chicharito's
the coach,
movement.
At some point, yeah. At some point, if you're the coach and the players, you have to take... They have Christian Pavone, Alexander Katai, Sebastian Legette, Sasha Kljestan out there, and their best playmakers are their fullbacks and their goalkeeper.
You're missing Dos Santos.
Yeah.
Massive.
Of course. But that's still a lot of talent.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially when you're going against Kiki Struna, Adam Lundqvist, Matias Vera.
Don't do it.
Bonia Garcia is my age.
Him.
He's my age. Come on.
And Sua is a huge upgrade at
left back. I agree. He is a huge upgrade, and I do think that he, in particular, was getting into better spots to cross from. But we're still talking about crossing 27 times a game.
Well, and also crosses that Chicharito just has, in large part, no chance to win. Like him on 2-on-1.
But I would argue that
feels that pain.
You're asking him to just like dunk on people, which he's just not going to do.
But I would argue if Jonah Dos Santos in that game, a lot of it is just Chicharito getting the ball past that near post and allowing Jonah to crash. No one was ever in that area to finish those chances.
And his the first goal of the game with Pavone, it's due to Chicharito's run.
No, I thought so too.
It helps out.
I'm not as sure about that.
I'll tell you why.
He does pull one defender, but well, Pavone beats
No, 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 no. It's not just because he drags one guy out. The middle defender, central defender, is still aware. He's still conscious of where Chicharito is. He's not focused on Christian Pavone cutting inside, which they both should have known. Christian Pavone's going to cut inside, and he's going to hit one. But Christian Pavone can go down the line. And when he goes down the line, guess who's making that near post run for a tap-in? Chicharito. But the run is important. Okay. That movement is essential for Christian Pavone.
All right. Chicharito, he makes his debut. We're off and running now. We'll see how this works out for the Galaxy. A point in Houston, that's not bad. It's not great. It's not bad. We have more on the Dynamo in the mailbag. There are some reports out there with the Galaxy Edson Alvarez, they made an offer for him in the winter. Didn't happen. They do need another center back. That part is a no-doubter.
Well, is Edson Alvarez going to be their 7th DP this year?
I don't know, man. It's the Galaxy. It's the Galaxy, right?
Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
All right, well, let's get our quote, our soundbite of week one in. It's something we're going to do all year, 5 weeks until I forget, Dave? Mm. Uh-huh. All right, producer Anders, roll that tape.
And we get just an amazing goal, really, at the press conference. All that you should be allowed to ask me about and all you should be allowed to write about is just the goal, because when you come to see football and then a game is determined on a play like that, which was a combination of determination and with people around him, strength and holding guys off and still with an idea of how he could get away and the position of the goalkeeper and to finish it off with that delicate chip, man, that was just incredible.
Bob Bradley telling us what we can talk about, what we should talk about. 1-0 win for
LAFC. It makes it easier.
Then
he can't get mad at us.
We're going to talk about Carlos Vela. We're doing what we're supposed to do here, Bob. What a goal from him. The left foot, the weaving, the leaving people buried in the ground. It's like croquet. Just whoop, 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 whoop. It's incredible.
I mean, it's...
He can do it all.
Like, go... If you haven't seen this video, pause this. Go watch the highlight.
It's probably in your right rail on YouTube right now. It's probably like a suggested watch.
He's amazing. And, like, I thought in that first game of the season, he looked like he was carrying a couple extra pounds. I was like, oh, maybe he's going to come back a little bit, you know, not as hungry as he was last year.
Or maybe too hungry.
Or too hungry, yeah. And then he did what he did in that game against Lyon last week. And then 3 days later, he scores that goal. Like, the rest of the team was sloppy. The rest of the team, they weren't sharp. They looked a little bit leggy, looked a little bit tired. They're still under construction. And Carlos Vela is the best player in the league. And he does that.
And by the way, he shows up before the game, before doing that, probably with the chip somewhere floating around in his brain, in a pink blazer, just to steal all
the shine
white from Inter Miami.
Too?
It's just like, what am I going to wear to
it
this?
Was his
first game for David Beckham? Yeah, on his birthday, too.
His birthday suit.
Yeah, feliz cumpleaños. Yeah. It was good stuff.
To get a candle. If anyone has a Carlos Vela candle, please send it to us so we can put it on set.
Yeah. Look, I'm still waiting for my my Chicharito kind of votive candle, so maybe we can just get a batch of
these
things.
We can put two of them, yeah.
Do we have an over-under in terms of minutes? I'm doing a lot of over-unders this year, apparently.
Yeah, that's a real big theme.
Where we start to worry about Brian Rodriguez.
I knew that's where you were going.
Because he's up to about 700-800 now. No goals, one assist. He is clearly talented.
Clearly.
He's clearly pushing too hard, being really indisciplined. He was caught offside, I want to say, three times against Miami, where it is like, you're looking right down the line, kid. You have to stay onside. Like, is it? At what point do we start to say, ooh, this is maybe Andre Horta again?
No, not for a while.
Andre
Horta. Get the heebie-jeebies out there.
No, because Rodriguez, first of all the things he does well are things that you can't teach. Yeah. The things he needs to do better are the things that are easier to improve on.
Like the finished product.
He megs two guys and gets up the field and gets into the 18. Yeah, you'd rather him make a better decision there. But he did that first part by himself at 19. And I also think he is pushing a little bit too hard, and it'll start to come more natural. Also, if they maybe play a normal center forward, it might make life a little bit easier for him, just more comfortable of what the spacing is, where he's going to get a run, when he can hit the cross, where he has to get to the end line to find that guy, because Rossi just doesn't naturally do a lot of those things that well. But you have, I don't know, a year before you would even remotely get me worried.
Okay. I think that's fair.
I'd go 6 months. But
we'll see. Lyon
at this level,
but that's why you're an ex-perfectionist, and I'm just
knocked off Lyon week and a half. They're back, LAFC against Cruz Azul in the CONCACAF Champions League. Inter Miami.
Cruz Azul is rolling back.
But do we still think they're going to win now? Like
LAFC?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know anybody ever thought they were.
They're definitely
win.
The favorites for an MLS team in my mind.
You don't think they're going to win CCL?
Dude, I said on this show that I thought somebody would win, but I didn't believe it.
Do you believe it now after getting past
no, Leon? No, no, I'll never believe it until it happens.
Oh, I see what you're doing.
Let me touch the cup while they're holding it, and then I will believe it. Then it's fool's gold otherwise.
You see Gignac's goal this weekend?
No.
Did you see that goal?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, watch that and then imagine an MLS
bike kick, like middle of the box, like in the top
corner.
Calling
that a bike?
What do you want to call it?
I don't know. It's not really.
Was it not like a swing? Like it was like
you have to go watch it. You're just midair. It's incredible. Inter Miami, their first game. David Beckham there, along with his entourage, did not get a win, but they got to be at least a little bit encouraged.
Did you guys know Liv Tyler was part of Beckham's entourage?
I did not know that.
Nope.
That was very interesting. All the Armageddon references are just coming together.
Yeah, that's true.
Armageddon everywhere in Major League Soccer these days. Okay. As Charlie watches this goal, feel free to give us your unfiltered reactions. Dave, Inter Miami, their debut. What'd you see?
I wouldn't. They went to the best team in league history, who have played 180 minutes. Also, I think they still had carry on of like they had to come out firing like they did against Lyon. Yeah, that's pretty good.
It's decent.
Yeah, it's decent.
So I think LAFC came out in the front foot, and I thought Inter Miami like held their ground.
They created a couple chances.
Yeah. So I didn't. And with the talent, unfortunately, that they have out there, because they have one big injury already at center forward. We think they're going to bring in another center mid from Boca Juniors, but he's not there yet. So it's not probably their ideal lineup out there, but I thought that they handled the situation well.
If that's the club you want to be, then great. But
not LAFC.
Inter Miami, for what I saw yesterday, was extremely underwhelming. I would expect this team to come out, have some flashy players, some entertainment, guys that are can beat you on the dribble, can really show you, wow, this is quality football, and this is more of an attacking-based team. Pizarro is a fantastic player, but this isn't Carlos Vela. This isn't a player that's going to get you goals and create and mesmerize and wow you. You watch him play, you say, fantastic player. He can, you know, get out of tight spaces. He's aware. But this isn't a match winner. You're spending $12 million. Some people are going to think, man, I want to see a match winner. I want to see these chip goals at the top of the box. You're not getting that with Pizarro.
It's not Rayados right now, the talent surrounding Pizarro.
He struggled at Rayados, yeah, though.
But that's sort of what I'm saying, is that he's going to have to be a different player than he was there. He's going to have to be more of that dominant, my team, chance creator, ball comes through me, I make it happen, and then it's got
to
happen.
And it looked like he was trying to do that, but I think there were some structural issues. I like both Will Trapp and Victor Ulloa. I don't know if you could play them both together in the same central midfield, because neither is a threat to surge forward either with or without the ball. Even just get into the attacking third.
Figal
and somehow, yeah, Figal was overlapping from center
Figal
back.
Figal looked good.
Figal and Torres both looked good. I think the Sounders fans would take Torres back in a heartbeat right now.
Don't knock Shane O'Neill right now. It's uncouth.
And it's not a Shane O'Neill who I was knocking. So neither of those guys was ever a threat to sort of compromise LAFC's shape. And then the other thing was, Ben Sweat is a good defensive fullback. Elvis Powell has his moments defensively at fullback.
Starter in MLS.
Neither of them are going to hurt you with their passing. So that really, caused Miami to struggle getting any sort of unexpected width. So it was always Pellegrini on one side and what's the name of the other winger?
Lewis Morgan.
I was going to say Mulroney. I'm like, nope, that's the Atlanta guy. Lewis Morgan on the other side going like 1v1 or 1v2 and Robbie Robinson all alone in the butt.
Who's ultra raw.
Yeah.
He's ultra raw.
His decision-making was poor.
Yes. He has quality. You see it. But to be a starter in Major League Soccer in this...
It's asking a lot of
him. They drew arguably the best team in North America at home with two games already under their... they lost. It was respectable. Ask Leon if they would take a respectable loss out of LA these days.
Yeah.
They would.
And if you talked to the players, the coach, they're going to LAFC, the best team, without a doubt. They're the best team in the league. And you come away losing 1-0 and you had chances. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you had possession at times. You'd say, I'll take it.
Just to be aware, Sounders fans, that was Charlie Davies who said, LAFC, best team in the league.
Are you tweeting this right now?
No, I'm just
typing.
Charlie Davies 9 on Twitter saying LAFC, without a doubt, best team at the league. Sounders fans.
Mm-hmm. Can I go ahead and award Coach of the Week? If you have nominees, we're going to do this every week until I forget.
Adrian Heath extra time coach of the week.
Yes, you're right.
We named it after the gaffe.
It's actually the Adrian Heath gaffer of the week.
Okay.
Adrian Heath gaffer of the week here on Extra Time, driven by Continental. Is Thierry Henry, anybody going to have beef with that one? Dave, Spaghetti? I think I'm right about this. I think I'm right.
14, baby.
I think I'm right. He's just got to be pragmatic.
He
doesn't have the pieces to do anything else.
What
so
does that mean? You're right. Do you think that Montreal in this setup is going to win CCL or make the playoffs?
They could.
No. Do you think they are?
In a more expansive setup, I would say, hell no, they can't.
But if they do not do either of those things, how are they better in 2021 by starting Rod Fanny and playing five in the back?
They have two open DP slots. What did you want them to do?
I forgot Montreal was going to drop big on the designated players.
I'm not saying they're
going to
drop big, but at least that's better than what they have now. Like, who out there is changing the game?
I don't disagree with you. I believe that you have to create a structure to bring those DPs. You going to completely reset the way you play in 2021?
I don't know. Maybe. You can't play like that now. Certainly won't be respectable.
This is the Pep Guardiola, Arsene Wenger acolyte Thierry Henry's vision of soccer.
What they played.
But that's the real
did
world.
Did you watch
man?
The game?
Yeah,
close.
I did, and I heard you, Charlie.
Yes, when they had the ball, they put New England on their back heels. I was shocked watching the game because initially when they lined up and when I watched them in CCL, I said, "Oh my God, this team is going to struggle. They have nothing going forward. There's no options." In the match against New England, they were pressing. They were getting numbers high. New England sat back because they were like, we weren't expecting this. They didn't know how to handle it. New England had Scott Caldwell and Diego Fagundes as their central midfield pairing.
For 45 minutes.
That was poorly. That backfired. But I think what Thierry Henry was stressing to not only the team when he was building out the philosophy and the tactics, but the fans and the media is, we're not playing defensive because I have five men when we don't have the ball in the back line. When we have the ball, I'm pushing my outside wingers high. And Bogiard, Zachary Bogiard, is a monster. Pace. Mm-hmm. Kyoto, other side, monster.
I
pace.
Think those two had the two highest. Oh, no, Paxton Pomykal did, actually. Yeah. But that's like highest.
I was very impressed with
them. Speed over the weekend.
And then, so you have those two guys. You bring Bojan inside. Didn't really have a great game, but you would think by midseason he'll start to get into form, and they'll have ideas. But attacking, they were very aggressive. It was surprising. And you said they're missing two DPs. Imagine if they had Piatti on the field, a player like Piatti. It really changes the game. And Lapalainen, he wasn't playing. That's another player that when he's going, I really like what he can do on the field. That's another weapon. This team could surprise a lot of people.
I just feel, Dave, that he's cooking with the ingredients that he has.
I don't disagree.
Like, don't ask
with that.
Him to make like Christmas dinner when he's got like a couple packs of chips and some peanut butter crackers.
For sure. Was never my point.
Okay.
Was never my point.
That's why he got Coach of the Week.
Yeah, for sure. The Gaffer of the Week.
Gaffer
of the Week.
The one thing I really like that they do, and they did in the CCL game, especially on the road, is they have the striker drop in to pick up the ball, and then they basically have those two wingers, tens, whatever they are, stretch the field and create the space, which, as you were saying, fits perfectly with the talent he has. Like, all these guys who can stretch the field, they're good. And right now, it's pulling center backs and confusing fullbacks. And then Brogiard has acres of space because the fullback's coming in to track Okwankwo or whoever it is.
Well, when he gets back on the field healthy, Okwankwo and Lapalainen, they're going to have weapons. Yeah. Those guys can score goals.
I just hear for a world in which Thierry Henry, his number one goal is to get the best out of Romel Kyoto. That's the sort of world that I want to live in, and right now we are in it. So congratulations, Thierry Henry. You are week one, Adrian Heath, Gaffer of the Week.
He's also tripled down on the new Adidas sweatshirt.
Yes, he is.
He's worn it in every game.
MLSstore.com is getting a big boost from Thierry Henry. I thought he was going to be, we were talking about this while we were watching the games, more of like Sky Sports Thierry Henry.
Yeah.
Like really well-tailored.
Skinny black tie.
Yeah, where you look at him and you're just like, damn it, I'm never going to be that cool. And right now he's sort of like suburban.
Turtleneck with the Thierry Henry, the jacket.
He's going with the top and also the sleeves rolled up. He's got the tats out. He's got the bling on. He's
the cool dad.
He's man for all seasons. I think.
Yeah.
Trendsetter. Yes.
Congratulations, Thierry. I have in the rundown here that there's a Sporting KC take incoming from Charlie Davies.
Oh, boy.
Did I have that right?
Oh, you had to do it.
Okay.
Yes.
Give him the floor.
3-1 win for Sporting KC. 3-1 win.
Mind you, it is a 3-1. It's a 3-1 win.
In Vancouver.
But it couldn't have been more of a misleading representation of where the Sporting Kansas City team is. Vancouver is bad. There's no doubts about it. They're bad. But they had many opportunities against the Sporting KC team. If they were clean in front of goal, this scoreline is completely different. I would hesitate if I'm a Sporting Kansas City fan to really be positive and think that we're done leaking goals. This is a completely new season. This back line is still susceptible, and when they play against the likes of a team that can punish you, like an LAFC, a New York City FC, teams that have a lot of capable goal scorers, I think we're gonna see the true Sporting Kansas City team.
There's the downer side of
it.
They
host Houston this game.
Yeah, I was going to say, then they play Atlanta, then San Jose, then RSL.
They might be okay for a while, though. They got some time to figure this thing out.
But there's a lot of holes. Yeah, Gadi Kinda, fantastic.
Raheem Habaim, Gadi Kinda.
There's a lot of holes in the Sporting Kansas City setup right now. Sure, it's early, but for me, I'd be concerned about Sporting
Kansas City. Can somebody pull up that Peter Vermees gif right now?
Yeah.
Just face that. Hey, Charlie, here's what Sporting KC fans think about that take right now. Yeah. Can you lip read? What do you think he's saying there? He says it three times. Yeah, Gadi Kinda, great goal. He's right-footed, by the way. He put that in with his left foot postage stamp. That was incredible. Jurso.
A little bit like Pozuelo last year.
Yeah, a little spin cycle from Jurso, and then Hurtado Island. We're all living on it, baby.
Oh, so, yeah.
Big 3-1 win for Sporting Kansas City. Let's do this outside to Atlanta. Go ahead. You got something else?
To the Vancouver point? Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going on. They played a 4-4-2, sort of a 4-5-1 at times with Reyna. I don't think Tybert or Wongenbaum touched the ball more than 15 times, and anytime they touched it, there was no one on their team within 15 yards of them. Yeah, so there's no,
it's really bad.
There's no idea of like who we are. It's not like now they did actually, I think, have the second highest expected goals to Charlie's point, but it took them an hour or 70 minutes to get to the point where then they just started throwing numbers forward.
Okay. There's your Whitecaps nugget. Outside Atlanta, fill in the blank should be the most concerned after week one. What do you think, Doyle? Who should be concerned? It's early to say.
I'm not
going to
say most concerned. I'll say concerned is the Red Bulls because they played great for 45 minutes.
That
hurts for me to say. No. 0%.
He's over those days.
The first 45 minutes, they were awesome. Florian Vallot back. He was great. Kyle Duncan absolutely dominating Yukubo. Kaku looking up for it. Caceres was everywhere, and he was clean. It looked good. And you're like, oh, okay. The Red Bulls figured this stuff out. But you can only press for so long. You run out of gas. Eventually, you have to learn how to defend in a middle or a lower block. And as soon as the Red Bulls stopped pressing, which was literally out the gate in the second half, they started being vulnerable. They gave up one goal, just a back-to-front, very nice bit of combination play from Cincinnati, and Seagrass doesn't track the runner, doesn't get there to cut out the pass. And then the rest of it, like the second goal, was bad luck. As you pointed out, David, it was bad luck. But it was also like when the other team puts you under pressure like that, you are more likely to have bad luck. And this is a Red Bulls team that last year dropped something like 22 points from winning positions. And they come out, and in week one, they almost blow a two-goal lead at home to FC Cincinnati. That's a worry.
We have to point out their best player. Aaron Long is their best player. Wasn't on the field.
Was Aaron Long their best player last year?
No, but if they are going to be good, he has to be their best player.
Right, and the first goal was Seagrass, who's a rookie playing his first professional game and was otherwise, I think, pretty decent. Just not tracking a runner. You could fix that on film. But still, the overall scope of what happened was so similar to last year when the Red Bulls were just a mediocre team at best.
Big here, I'm here for, I should say, David Jensen in the hat.
Yeah.
Love a goalkeeper hat. And I also love that he threw the hat on the ground after giving up that goal to Jurgen Lokadia.
You don't think Kaku
takes the hat
be the
off,
player?
Chucks it. It's great.
Maybe. I think Aaron Long could be the best center back in MLS when he's on.
Any other teams that should be not the most concerned, but have a level of concern?
Philadelphia Union.
Oh. Yep. Lost to Dallas 2-0 on the road?
On the road.
Yep.
That's not something to be ashamed about, Charlie.
No, it's not. But we talk about you lose Majunjanin, okay? And you put in Warren Cravall. I see that he covers ground. He's brought in to be more defensive-minded, but you need some more players there. Kasper Schipilko.
They have guys that were on the bench. You're saying that is the loss of sort of that creative engine.
And defensively, you saw what Andrasik did. It was the goal he scored. There was no pressure on him. So a lot of the center backs, the back line, they drop off. And they allow you time and space. With all the players in the league right now, if you're dropping off and you're giving guys a foot or two of space to create their own shot, you're going to be punished. So for me, Philadelphia Union, there's a slight concern because you can, you know, whether it's a defensive midfielder, worrying about the pressure on the back line, and up top, Kasper Schipilko, you need to get him back scoring goals and get him in form, getting opportunities. In this match, they didn't provide him service.
What about the Portland Timbers?
Yeah, that'd be the one I would say. I actually thought Mora looked good and did a little bit more than I expected, but the problem coming into the year, the problem we talked about last year, and what you saw in week one was they struggled to score goals if they don't overwhelm you with numbers, and they cannot defend when they turn the ball over in those dangerous situations. So the two goals for Minnesota to go ahead and then close it at 3-1 were Portland throwing everything forward, ball pops out, Ethan Finley goes the length of the field, puts a cross in, Mabiala loses his man, and then just chaos in the back line when your numbers are pulled. And you've got, I thought Chara played well, or Yimi played well in possession at times. But once again, anytime they lost the ball, it was 3-on-4, 3-on-3. And they are unprepared to defend in those spots. And they don't have the talent to do it. Like, their back line isn't that good. I've said this. We had a debate about Mabiala and where he ranks in center backs and all that stuff. None of these guys are top 15 in the league at their position. So to ask for that back five to cover you at times 1v1 in MLS, which, as you said, has a ton of players, especially in the Western Conference, that can eat you alive 1v1, they're not in a situation to do that. So they need to figure out how to either create goals or how to get teams to come forward against them and allow them to counter.
So the two things I would say, they kind of covered for that in the first half by having Yimi Chara play almost as a defensive winger. Because you know Moreira is just going upfield. He cannot hold back. He's going to overlap. And they had Yimi sitting there almost like a third ball winner, which is maybe not how you want to use your biggest signing of the offseason, but it actually worked. Minnesota were not able to get forward in that first half. That's one. Second thing is, like, how much do you really worry about Portland, though? Because we see them do this every year. Every year they come into the season saying, like, we're going to play on the front foot, we're going to use the ball, we're going to knock it around, we're going to pull people apart with possession. And then after 5 or 6 weeks, they're like, no, we're going to sit back and be a counterattacking.
Because you said it. Why would anyone go out against them? Okay. Why would you ever open yourself up?
You know what?
Them?
I did say that.
Yeah, Doyle.
I am really smart.
That's
Doyle
the best way to win. That's the best really way to win debates smart. With Doyle. Be like, you know what, Doyle? Here's what you said. And you're like, I did say that, and it was smart.
That guy's a genius.
It's mailbag time. 401-206-0MLS. Extra time at MLSsoccer.com. We have a live mail from producer Anders.
Nice.
Why didn't you guys talk about the Sounders? Jordan Morris scored 2 goals for the second straight opening day.
Zion.
And all you want to do is talk about the Colorado Rapids and the Portland Timbers and gaffers of the week. Jordan Morris is a game changer.
Yeah, congratulations for beating the Chicago Fire at home.
Fire.
Yep.
I don't have an answer to that.
Hey, no, producing, an answer to that. Producing Anders, was this a really good week for the Sounders?
It was. Yeah, it was. A
I don't
low
hear
average.
Mm. We never talked about that.
I hear crickets back there in Anders.
Oh, that was on Thursday. We haven't talked about that, have we?
We also didn't talk about LAFC, which we've mentioned throughout the show.
Yeah, we acted like it was some big conversation. Yeah.
I believe Seattle is the first MLS team to lose a CONCACAF Champions League series to Honduras inside. That's what happened.
Wow.
Hold on. Could you say that they invented losing a CONCACAF Champions League series?
This is an Olympia side that had 2 starters that couldn't get visas get through and 2 starters that started the first game against Seattle that were injured. That was the team that they lost to in CCL. That's what happened.
That was the plan the whole time.
That was the plan.
Yeah.
Well, when you saw Jerry Banks
going for that shield.
Yeah, we're going for that.
You see Jerry Banks, then you say, okay, now we switch our priorities here. Look, congratulations to Jordan Morris. 2 good goals off the bench. Mm-hmm. Good.
17 goals, 14 assists for club and country, all competitions in the last 32 games. Yes, I'm using hand sanitizer.
Yeah, you're kind of scaring me right now.
Charlie got in my head before the show. He's like, you hear about that corona?
I was wondering where
Jordan
that came
Morris
from.
Has been.
It is in the city, though.
Yeah, Jordan Morris has been fantastic. He was a match winner, but like they could have been up 3-0 at the half if they should have finished there.
Yeah. All right. How's this one? We had an anonymous. What do you think about Paxton Pomykal's mustache? You've seen the Sundance Kid.
Sundance Kid. Yeah.
Going around. I think that is actually a really awesome nickname. The Sundance Kid. The mustache is pretty good actually for, you know, I couldn't do that at that age.
I think I'm gonna pass out.
Dave, what?
You don't like the.
There's a lot of hand sanitizer.
They need to like have a.
All they had left was garden orchid scent.
Oh my god!
You don't love that
guy. Size on that one.
I hate fake.
Paxton Pomykal's game icing goal, very very nice.
Nice goal.
Changed the game. Came off the bench. Defensive pressure, which we know him for, and not then the final product.
Not a fan of the mustache, but a fan of the.
Really? Have you ever gotten mustache?
Yeah, and it was really bad.
It was bad. So maybe
were you living in France at the time?
No, it was the playoff mustache in 2014.
Oh, I do remember that mustache. Yeah, that mustache in 2014 too.
Yeah.
Mine was even worse.
That said, there is a strong history of bad mustaches for that FC Dallas team. Shout out to our guy Heath Pierce.
Yeah.
So
Movember was big back then.
We don't really have the Movember now. Yeah. You can't build up into the MLS Cup Movember. You know, it's over too early. Unless you're Dave, and then.
It happens.
You just 2 days in, you're good.
By the way, Dallas scored 2 goals in that game. Both assists were by teenagers from their academy. Jesus Ferreira got the assist on Andrasic and Tanner Tessman, who made his MLS debut.
Here we go. Kevin Ortiz tweeted us, how do you rate Tanner Tessman's performance for FC Dallas? Do you think he will be a starter for the rest of the year? And then Matt in Fort Worth, did any rookie have a better game one than FC Dallas' latest homegrown, Tanner Tessman, who said no to being a kicker for the Clemson football team and then obviously playing midfielder.
I think Dabo Swinney is like his
Godfather. Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's why Dabo was like, it's the he's the best. Yeah. He could have played wide receiver. He's the best athlete I've ever seen.
I mean,
didn't realize.
He had a really good game. I thought of all the rookies, he probably had the best game. Is he going to be a starter for the rest of the season? No. As soon as Brian Acosta gets back healthy, Brian Acosta will most likely be the starter. But thing to bear in mind with Tessman is that he is 18 years old. He's U20 eligible for the 2021 U20 World Cup. And I believe qualifying is coming up soon. It's like in July. So, as usual, with FC Dallas, big future for club and country.
Yeah, fueling those youth national teams.
I'm sorry, but I got to use the restroom.
Like, what just happened?
I'm gonna wet my pants.
No, put your headphone up, dude. Go. There's no obligation that you have to stay here.
Charlie goes off with the Dunkin' Donuts for 3 weeks, and he comes back. He can't hold his coffee.
Oh, God. Oh, let's keep it rolling here. Transfer changes for the cut given MLS clubs. New roster rules. It used to be 75-25 split, 75 to the club, 25 to the league. Now it's 95-5, and you can also get $1 million in GAM. That's cool. Oof. Still 100% on all the transfer fees for homegrowns.
Can I make a point that our buddy Sam from The Athletic made in his explainer about this? Raising it to $1 million of GAM really actually incentivizes teams to move guys outside of MLS. It's not going to completely deflate the internal trade market. You will still be able to trade. There will still be trades and all that. But suddenly with a player, maybe like a Walker Zimmerman, he's a little older than I think maybe is a target, but it makes as much sense to sell these guys overseas and become that selling league that so many people have talked about as it does to trade a guy within the league.
It's all about incentives. Got to give them to clubs.
I love how Doyle said that so many people have talked about when it's been your growling cry for months.
No, it's the commissioner talks about it.
Ah, got it. You meant people who actually have decision-making and ability to affect things.
He contains multitudes.
Here's Hughes scenario code on the Hot Take Hotline that's basically complaining about what you wrote or didn't write about the Dynamo after this weekend. Doyle, game one of Tab Ramos, you have a quick take on what you saw?
Yeah, they were the better team. They also settled for too many crosses, though I thought they were tended to be better worked than the Galaxy's crosses.
How are you gonna come back after that?
Hey, you know, the show's not over.
They were missing their two.
Come on now, it's similar to what Doyle was saying with the coronavirus.
Yeah,
I've been drinking fluids left and right. I'm like four bottles of water down with a coffee. I stood no chance. I had 10 minutes of just sitting here, like,
off the
I was
kind of
like, come on, guys, let's have a break. So I can
your producer Anders in my ear is being just like, let's go, come on, we got to get done with this thing, and he's doing that right now.
Okay, it was a nice 1-1 draw without your two DP creators. You're the Houston Dynamo. If you don't get 3 points at home, you're not going anywhere.
Mara Minotas tapped the badge a bunch, kissed it after his goal. I don't know what
it
that
was
means.
It was nice of David Bingham to like completely jump out of the way of that
he
shot.
He forgot where his goal was.
Outside of the goal, man.
Danny Sapero, 2008 MLS Cup.
He forgot where the goal was.
The guy should have hit him in the chest. Mike Molinaro.
And then they did the highlight with the spacing of everyone to show how it happened. Yeah, you're like, no. The goalkeeper went the wrong way.
Mike Molinaro, what a match. I think the Rapids could have a huge year. We have firepower that will surprise the league. Our backline is young, but Drew Moore brings great leadership to the core. And I love Irwin. The Pids are back, and so is reportedly Rapid Man. So that's cool. And we end here, Juan Rodriguez. Guys, the reverse Marie Kondo Award should go to the team that sparks little to no joy, so much so that you feel obligated to talk about them, or you even just skip them like Andrew did on the Union in the preview. I think I'm just going to give the reverse Marie Kondo Award to RSL Orlando this weekend, and that'll end our wrap-up of week one. Any thoughts? Get at us. 401-206-0MLS extra time at MLSsoccer.com.
A shout-out to Orlando fans. Sell out.
Oh, and also their TIFO was very clever, self-effacing, and had everything to it.
There was some good TIFOs.
There was some really good TIFOs.
FC Dallas had a good Baby Yoda one.
Yeah. I like
Seattle with like eight newspapers. That
anything with Baby Yoda, you're top of the
list. Big Baby Yoda guy here. All right, that's it for us. We'll be back on Thursday to preview week two and talk about any and all news. Stay hydrated, right, Charlie?
Hydrated. Wash those hands.
Exactly. Exactly. Care about the people around you. We'll see you later.
I can't believe you said it. We'll be right back.